Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning. After 5 hours of sleep, as they say, I am grateful, and I'm shouting out my best bud, my running buddy, my sister in Christ, who drove with me 8 hours to take my mom home. Shout out to Evangelist Shannon. Give her love, y'all. God is good. She and I did some talking, laughing, praising, praying. You know, it's nice when you travel with someone that loves God and praise before you leave, praise during the trip, praise after the trip, about to shout before you go, shout when you're going, shout when you're getting back, because they know that God loves them just like he loves you. So thanking God for my sister in Christ and thanking God for safe travels. Thanking God for his angels of mercy and grace that travel with us through the highways and the byways, through our ups, through our downs, through our good, through our bad. Hallelujah. Thanking God for a new day. I was just on Morning Glory Nation, and I am shouting out for Morning Glory Nation for Giving Tuesday on tomorrow. They are out there on Cash App, Morning Glory Nation. They are out there for giving. And so I shout out Morning Glory Nation for Giving Tuesday, if you have. You know, we need to give to our ministries. Give to your church, even if you, whatever nonprofit your church may have, give to it. Give to those that are in need. Whatever you have that is your service to God, give. It is important that we don't forget to give back to God all that God has given to us. So thanking God this morning for his grace, for his goodness, and above all, thanking God for his love. You know, this morning on Morning Glory Nation, you know, the title was God is with me. And I say to you this morning, family, God is with all of us. God loved us so much that he gave his son, wicked, not so good, not so nice, not so right, not so holy self, but God gave his son for us because it's a love relationship. It's a love relationship between us and our Father. And so all I can say is thanking him this morning for his love relationship with each and every one of us. So thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for caring about us. Thank you, God, for just being who you are. Our Father, with Jonathan Haven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will, hallelujah, not my will, but thy will be done, hallelujah. We thank God this morning that it's his will that's done in our life, because let's call it straight, family. We as human beings can mess up some stuff. We can cause all kind of havoc in a world that was blessing to us from God. Think it through. We can cause some mess, but God. So thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you, Pastor Few, for a great word this morning. Because, you know, as a minister, we got to give field too. You can't just preach and preach and preach and preach and not get filled yourself. You've got to be restored too. And so I thank God that I have a restoration process, and it's called Morning Glory. And I'm grateful to God that he gave me a Morning Glory prophet to fill me up, that he gave me a pastor to fill me up. We got to get filled too. Hallelujah. So thanking God for his word this morning. And let us pray. Let's lift up the name of Jesus before we go too much farther. Father God in heaven, I come to you with a happy, joyful heart, knowing that you have never left me, that you have never forsaken me, that you have been with me through my ups. You have been with me through my downs. You have been with me through my good, bad, and downright ugly. Father God, I thank you for never giving up on me, Lord God. Even when I gave up on myself, you were always there. Father God, I thank you for this mighty word that is going forth this morning, Lord God. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and righteous sight. In the name of Christ Jesus, Father, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father God, for you are the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And Father, I cannot do this without you. Send your Holy Spirit to reign on every household that is listening, Lord God. To reign on my household, Lord God. With your Holy Spirit, let it reign on each of us, oh God. That when we hear this word and meditate on it day and night, that it permeates our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. That it percolates in our bloodstream, that we will remember that you are with us always. Thanking you, Father God, for this day that you have made. I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for coming into this wicked world. I want to say just for me. But I know it was for all of mankind that we may have opportunity for eternal life with you. I thank you, Savior. I ask forgiveness for anything I may have done, words said, things thought, things done, seen and unseen. Before I go forth in this word, Lord, I ask forgiveness. In the name of Christ Jesus, forgive me, O Lord. As I forgive anyone that may have trespassed against me. Lord God, I ask for the forgiveness of the debt of sins that I may have committed, as I forgive those who may have committed a debt of sin against me. Lord God, I ask you to lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from all kinds of evil. In the name of your name, Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, hallelujah. We give honor to the Most High God. And I am just so excited on this 29th day of November. Wow, y'all. The month is almost over. We are about to start into that Advent season. Almost time for Christmas. And I'm not going to get into that, you know, 25th of December stuff. I'm not going to do that. We all know that that's a day just like Sundays that we celebrate Jesus. We know the Sabbath is Saturday, and we know Christmas, Jesus was not born on the 25th of December, and I'm not going to argue it with anybody. Read a word. That's all I say is read the basic instruction before leaving Earth. Okay? That's all I'm saying. So let's get started in this word, because today you say, pray and clap. We are starting a new book, y'all. We are starting a new book. I am excited, y'all, because this to me is like the revelation of, it's like the revelation of the Old Testament to me. This is to me, because I am a like total Daniel fan. My son's middle name is Daniel. That's how much I like Daniel, y'all. I love the book of Daniel. Daniel does not play. He is bold. He is strong. And he loves God. Y'all do you. But I'm going to do God. I'm not bowing down to anybody's idol. Don't even come my way with that stuff. Yeah, I will go into a lion's den because I got faith that my Lord is with me. Oh, come on, y'all. We got to have Daniel kind of faith. It's a hard name to live with, but I can tell you something. That Daniel name has been with my child, and he walks in faith. And I thank God for such an awesome young man that he gave me for my birthday. But I tell you this, I love all my children and grateful for my children. But there's something about the name of Daniel. Wow. So let's get into the word. Let's talk about Daniel. And this is our, what do you call it? Know your Bible. As Pastor Pugh said, your Bible. Know your Bible. Little book, 66 books, just tells you the word in 10 words or less of each chapter. Each book, not each chapter, but each book of the Bible. And when you kind of study it, you kind of get an understanding of what you're reading. And they're not 10 words or less. It says this, the author of Daniel, most likely Daniel, duh. Though some question this, chapter 7 through 12 are written in the first person, I, Daniel, 7:15. Though the first six chapters are in the third person, then Daniel answered. So I just feel like, maybe it was part Daniel, and maybe it was one of the Hebrew boys. We don't know. But I'm just going to give a tribute the whole thing to Daniel. And it says this, the date of this book was the period of the Babylonian captivity, approximately 605 to 538 B.C. In 10 words or less, faithful to God in a challenging setting, Daniel is blessed. Say it with me, faithful to God in a challenging setting, Daniel is blessed. So, me changing it up, Daniel is blessed because he is faithful to God. That's how I would say it. Daniel is blessed because he is faithful to God. 9 words. Daniel is blessed because he is faithful to God. Through all things, Daniel is faithful to God. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Daniel trusted in God and was faithful to challenging settings. He was enslaved. I was straight. He was enslaved. There's nothing like being in captivity. 400 years of it. Come on, y'all. Still we rise. Why? Because God is with us. Thinking every day. And it says this. Details, please. As a young man, Daniel, along with three others to be known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are taken from their home in Jerusalem to serve the king of Babylon. Daniel's God-given ability to interpret dreams endures him to King Nebuchadnezzar, whose vision of a huge statue, Daniel says, represents existing and future kingdoms. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego find trouble when they disobey an order to bow before a statue of Nebuchadnezzar. As punishment, they are thrown into a fiery furnace where they are protected by an angelic being like the Son of God. The next Babylonian king, Belshazzar, throws a drinking party using cups stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. He literally sees the writing on the wall, which Daniel interprets as the soon-to-come takeover of Babylon by the Medes. The Median king, Darius, keeps Daniel as an advisor, but is tricked into passing a law designed by other jealous officials to hurt Daniel, who ends up in a den of lions. Once again, God protects his people. Daniel spending a night placed by the schemers who are mauled by the hungry beast. The final six chapters contain Daniel's prophetic vision, including that of 70 weeks of the end times. Come on, y'all. Quotable. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hands, O King. Can the church say amen? Woo, hallelujah. I told y'all this is going to be a great book. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. Daniel 6:22. Oh, my God. We do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Daniel 9:18. And then it goes on to say the unique and unusual. The book was originally written in two languages, Hebrew, the introduction, and most of the prophecies, chapter 1 and chapter 8 through 12, and Aramaic, the stories of chapter 2 and 7. And that's why some folks think that part of it is Daniel and part of it is someone else. That the Hebrew is probably Daniel and the Aramaic may be someone else telling Daniel's story. So that's where the confusion comes in. And it goes on to tell us in this little book, so what? As the old song says, dare to be a Daniel. God will always take care of the people who dare to stand alone, to have a purpose firm for him. Ooh, we're going to stand. Dare to be Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel, y'all. Dare to be who God says you are, which is his. Hallelujah. So let's get into this great word this morning. Ooh, y'all got a giddy teacher today. And, you know, and I like to say one more time, if you know someone who is shut in, who wants to hear the word of God, who wants to just hear a Bible study with Bible reading, give them 213-943-3597 so they can hear a word of God. This is Bible study for those that are on the go, on the run, and those need a word from God. Just need to hear God's word. So please share 213-943-3597, or they can tweet or catch me on Twitter under Minister_B Talks Word. Or just go to Facebook, and it's under Bridget Smith. But there will be eventually a moving forward webpage. And we'll see what we can do. God's going to work it all out because that's just what he does. So thanking God for all of you again, let's get in the word. Daniel chapter 1 said, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and the 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat a portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servant. So he consented with them in this manner and tested them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh. All the young men who ate the portion. Of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. For as for these 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all none were found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, to tell the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we shall give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time had changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king tell the king's manner. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel's companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, and the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the season. He removes kings and rises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God, my fathers. O God of my fathers, you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said, thus I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the vision of your heart, your head upon your bed, were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while in your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me, because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known to the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while the stone was cut out without hand, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron and the clay and the bronze and the silver and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floor. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, were a king of kings. For the God of heaven had given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay, and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay, and as the toes of the feet, partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle and the seed of men with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and an incense to him. The king answered Daniel, said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a reveler of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. After Daniel's petition, the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Woo! God will give you favor even in captivity. What can you say but thank you, God? And this is an how can I become more obedient Christian? How can I become a more obedient Christian is the life question for today's lesson from Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verses 4 through 16. Obedience is the bottom line in the Christian life. So what is it? Obedience means compliance to the plan, conformity to the pattern, observation of the rules and adherence to the standard, and submission to another's will. If we want to obey the Lord, we need to know what action God wants us to take, what attitude would most please him, because we know our attitude will determine our altitude. What required steps may be along the way, and how do we get ourselves to the point of obedience? Number one, first, we have to know what God's commandments are. We cannot obey what we do not know or understand, and we get God's perspective by becoming familiar with his word. I'll say that again. First, we have to know what God's commandments are. We cannot obey what we do not know or understand. And we get God's perspective by becoming familiar with his word. But simply knowing God's word isn't enough. We must also tap into its power through the Holy Spirit, who helps us relate God's commands to our own situation and who assists us in determining the wisest course of action. Once we decide to obey, we can expect a challenge to compromise. It takes commitment and courage to obey God. In the face of these challenges, courage to give up what we like to do, what he asks, courage to do things that may bring unwelcome results, courage to rearrange our schedule to match his plan, courage to love the unlovely, to forgive and to seemingly unforgivable, and to give when we want to keep. Ooh, hallelujah. Since Satan doesn't want us to follow God, he will offer temptation after temptation to divert us to another place or to weaken us through small steps of can we counter his challenge to compromise by renewing our resolve to obey as Jesus did. When Jesus neared the end of 40 days of fasting and prayer following his baptism, Satan came at him hard, tempting him to compromise on his calling. But Jesus stood up to Satan with courage, answering temptation after temptation with the word of God. Commitment like his involves loving God above all else, obedient action, a determined attitude, and a willingness to suffer any consequences that flow out of compliance. Whenever you feel tempted to disobey God, remember that your faithfulness and devotion to Christ are at stake. Ask yourself, is my understanding of Scripture increasing? Am I able to hold to God's plan without compromise? How committed am I to obeying God? If I love him, I'll obey him. So how much do I really love him? Questions we got to ask ourselves in time. Some life lessons from Daniel chapter 1 and chapter 2. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God has the power and wisdom and resolve to equip you fully for whatever task or position he wants you to tackle. We will never fall into a God-given task because God failed to give us what we need. Hallelujah. Daniel is all up in it today. Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Before Daniel ever brought his urgent request to God, he demonstrated his trust in him by telling the king that he would give him what he wanted. Trusting God means looking beyond what we can see to what God sees. Can the church say amen? The prophet Daniel is speaking this morning. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Revelation word here. When we face various difficulties and challenges, it can give us great hope to remember that whatever happens, we are intimately connected to the winning side. And can the church again say, amen? The prophet has spoken. Psalms 135, verses 15 through 21. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouth. Those who make them, everyone who trusts in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord out of Zion who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. When I read that, what came to mind is praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just a praise break. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. I'm going to read that again. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless, seek his well-being. Hallelujah. And we are getting ready to get into our last chapter in First Peter. On tomorrow, we'll be starting another new book, Second Peter. So let us finish up this morning, First Peter. And our title comes out of First Peter this morning. The title for today's lesson comes out of First Peter. And that title for today, coming out of our word, is coming out of chapter 5 of 1 Peter. And I just was looking at it and I thought, wow, God, you are on fire this morning. And it says, cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And that is taking the word cares for you. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. And the word that God gave me was cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. God wants to take all of our situations, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And I'm going to read that life lesson before we even get into the word, because that is our title this morning. It says, regardless of the concern or worry, God wants us to bring everything to him. He always has our best interest at heart and will rouse all his infinite power to help us. Because the people we are meant to be, help us become the people we are meant to be. And we'll read that again. But God wants the best for his children. He wants the best for us. He is not a shabby daddy. He is a magnificent father that gives the best gifts to his children. The best gift he gives to us is love. Hallelujah. The greatest fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the first. And it says even faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of faith, love is more, is greater than faith. Love is greater than hope. Love is the best gift our daddy can give us. So let's get into the word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for this eagerly, nor as being lords over these entrusted in you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Can the church say amen? God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And the word tells us, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion. Oh, Jesus, thank you. And the dominion. Say it one more time. And the dominion. Amen. By Sylvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, Jesus, thank you for a word, God. Thank you for your holy word, God. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The Lord cares for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for caring for me. Thank you, God, for caring for us. Thank you, God, for being in the midst of mighty and wonderful Father. Hallelujah. I feel on fire this morning. Thank you, God. And as we go to the life lessons one more time from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, it says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as an overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly. Dr. Stanley says this, God delights in willing service. God delights in willing service, not in grudging obedience, as if we were doing him a favor by complying with his instructions. Eager obedience reveals a heart in love with the one who gave the command. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read our title one more time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Lord cares for you. That's all I can say is the Lord cares for you. The Lord cares for you, family. Cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. I'm giving my situations to God because God already knows them. God already is with me. God said in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I cast my cares on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Cast your cares upon God. So watch him work in your life. And as he said in his word, Dr. Stanley tells us, regardless of the concern or worry, God wants us to bring to him. And what do we say on this moving forward experience? We don't worry, we pray. God wants us to bring everything to him. He always has our best interests at heart and will rouse all his infinite power to help us become the people we are meant to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What did it say in the book of Job when he went up to heaven with the sons of God? What have you been doing? Just walking to and fro. That's why he's walking to and fro, so he can devour you. He's like a roaring lion to devour someone who is unsuspecting of who he is. What a word this morning. And the word that Dr. Stanley gives us, and as we wrap it up this morning, is this. We must never forget that we are in a spiritual war. And I'm going to say that again so it permeates. We are in a spiritual war. Regardless of how well things may seem to be going for us, we live in a perpetual war zone. How many casualties? How many casualties occur because we think we live in a time of peace? Don't get it twisted, family. We are in spiritual war. And the enemy is going to and fro upon this earth looking for whom he can destroy. Because the devil comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we would have abundant life. Who do you choose? Like Esther said, I choose God. And we must choose God. And that's all I have this morning. If there's anyone that has a word from God, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. It's good to see you all this morning and to know that God has got us covered from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. And I say one more time, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Have a blessed day today. Read the word. Study the word. Meditate on the word day and night. And watch God work in your lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the Daniel word this morning, the prophetic word that you gave us today, Lord God. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for our proverb and our psalms, oh God. For we are going to praise you, Lord. We're going to praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion who dwells in Jerusalem. Bless the name of the Lord today. Thank you all for coming in and joining me this morning for Bible study and for reading and teaching of the word. And I pray that God adds a blessing to each and every one of your lives. I thank you. I thank God for you. And I ask God to bless you and keep you. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Be blessed and have a great and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that he is with you wherever you go. Wherever you are, the Lord is there. To meet you, to greet you, and to give you all his love. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. It's a new day, a new week, and it's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed and have a great week. Join me tomorrow, God willing. I should say the Lord's will at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time as we study the book of Daniel and start in a new book. 2 Peter. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Y'all, let's go to work. Have a blessed day. And thank God. I thank God for each and every one of you. And as I was told by a good friend, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it but love God. Have a great day.